This is Mountain News and World Report, WMMT's weekly sojourn into life in Central Appalachia. We now invite you to join us for a visit with folks you may or may not know, items of interest to us all, and shining moments in our living history.
Hey there, and welcome to Mountain News. I'm your host, Rachel Geringer. In this episode, we bring you recent news from the Ohio Valley Resource, an exploration into some curious billboards scattered around eastern Kentucky, some youth-produced audio from the Appalachian Media Institute's archives, and a story about this year's free Levitt Amp concert series in downtown Whitesburg. First, from WMMT and Ohio Valley Resource reporter Sydney Bowles, connections between a company in Ashland and a U.S.-sanctioned Russian supplier.
The Ashland, Kentucky aluminum company Brady Industries got a big financial boost recently with a partnership with a massive Russian supplier. However, that Russian company was until recently under U.S. sanctions. The deal has raised further questions about Brady's financing, which already included millions from Kentucky taxpayers. Sydney Bowles has more.
Brady Industries has been hailed as a potential economic savior in a struggling part of Kentucky.
For years, we've seen industry leaving, workforce moving elsewhere because there were no jobs.
That's Justin Suttles, who works at a career center in Ashland. He says people ask about the high-paying jobs, as many as 1,000, that a new Brady Industries aluminum mill could bring.
This will be it's the injection we need to attract even more businesses to the area.
Brady Industries was such an attractive project that Kentucky's Republican Governor Matt Bevin offered significant tax breaks and invested $15 million in taxpayer dollars. A state investment fund is now a partial owner, along with Brady's CEO, Craig Bouchard. But Bouchard still needed more investment capital. He found it in an unlikely place.
We're choosing here Rusal.
Bouchard announced in April a $200 million investment from Russian aluminum giant Rusal. Up until 4 months ago, Rusal was under federal sanctions. That's because its major owner at the time, Oleg Deripaska, was closely associated with Vladimir Putin and involved in what U.S. officials called malign activity. In an interview with The Resource, Bouchard says he doesn't know Deripaska.
Deripaska is someone I've never met, never talked with, don't know at all.
A rapid change in Rusal's legal status is raising eyebrows among some national security experts, and the unusual public investment from Kentucky means all taxpayers have a stake in the outcome. Michael Dobson was part of the U.S. Treasury Department team that imposed sanctions on Rusal.
U.S. government theory of the case is to show these oligarchs who, you know, may be used as kind of extensions of the Kremlin and that they're not insulated from that conduct.
As far as Dobson is concerned, the Treasury Department was right to lift the sanctions. Deripaska stepped back from leadership and lost an estimated half of his net worth.
Deripaska took a significant haircut.
But other security experts disagree. Jeffrey Mankoff, a national security expert at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says he doubts Deripaska is really out of the picture.
The commentary when that happened was, you know, this was kind of dubious and it was a bit of a legal fiction that effectively he would still be in charge.
A bipartisan majority in the House voted to stop Treasury from lifting the sanctions. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky helped to defeat the measure. Sanctions were lifted, and months later, Rusal announced its $200 million investment in McConnell's home state. Mankoff says that raises some big questions.
McConnell, I don't know. Is he carrying water for Trump? You know, I don't know. But given the inroads that various Russian operatives made into the campaign, I think it's worth at least asking the question what the game that people like McConnell are playing is.
A spokesperson for Senator McConnell declined to answer specific questions about this vote. Back in Kentucky, Brady CEO Bouchard isn't focused on the politics.
I'm going to rebuild Appalachia, and I'm going to do it with the lowest carbon usage in the aluminum industry in the world.
Bouchard says Brady wanted to partner with Rusal because of its low carbon production process, and the rest is just coincidence. If the Treasury comes to believe Deripaska is more involved in practice than he is on paper, sanctions could be reimposed, and that would make doing business for Brady a lot harder. Brady Industries expects to be operational by 2021. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles in Ashland, Kentucky.
Next, the U.S. Department of Justice has filed a lawsuit against the coal companies owned by Jim Justice.
As Chinese officials visit Washington for trade talks, the Trump administration has threatened to raise tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. Chinese officials have already threatened to retaliate. Liam Niemeyer reports this latest escalation could further hurt Ohio Valley's farmers, manufacturers, and consumers.
Chinese goods could see tariffs increase from 10% to 25%. Ohio pork farmer Pat Hoard is already dealing with a Chinese retaliatory tariff of 62% on meat he exports there. He says because of trade uncertainty, he's had to scale back investments in his business.
We don't mind helping in that. We just don't want to bear a disproportionate load of the pain, and that's what we feel has happened.
Hoard says the tariffs have also affected the price of pork to consumers. And some economists say consumers eat the cost of tariffs in other industries. An analysis from the Peterson Institute for International Economics shows consumers roughly pay $952,000 for each job tariffs helped create in the U.S. aluminum industry. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Liam Niemeyer.
If you've been driving around eastern Kentucky the past several months, you might have noticed some seemingly random, seemingly inspirational billboards. WMMT's own Sydney Bowles set out to learn more about them.
It was a Tuesday like any other Tuesday, or so I thought. It was kind of dreary out. I was driving towards Prestonsburg in my Honda Civic, listening to WMMT on 88.7 FM, when I saw it. The billboard. I slammed on the brakes, yanked my car to the side of the road, and made the following recording. Okay, so I pulled over my car at the side of the road. Oh, no, that's the radio. I'm looking at this sign that says, Stay Fabulous. And it's kind of got this, like, pink and blue vibe going on. It looks a little bit, they're two different fonts. It's very nicely formulated. It's not really advertising anything. But then, yeah, on the bottom it says, Tim P. Singleton? Or maybe it's Timp Singleton? Unclear. But I don't know, I have some questions. Who's Timp Singleton? And why does he want us to stay fabulous? So on that ordinary Tuesday, my quest for answers began.
You have reached the voicemail box of... At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hi, my name is Sydney Bowles. I'm a reporter with WMMT based in Eastern Kentucky. I am on the hunt for the folks who put up some billboards in my part of the country. They say things like Stay Fabulous, and I just want to figure out what's going on there. So you can give me a call back. Thanks, bye-bye.
Good morning, Fairway Outdoor. How may I help you?
Hi. I'm trying to reach the people who are responsible for some billboards with positive sayings on them.
With what on them?
The like billboards that say positive messaging on them. I heard you guys were behind it.
Just a moment.
Good morning, this is Steve. How can I help you?
Hey, Steve. My name is Sydney. I'm a reporter based in Eastern Kentucky. And I'm calling you guys because I feel like I think that you guys are behind some billboards.
Okay. In Eastern Kentucky, I've got a couple up there. I can give you the general whereabouts, but I'm not exactly... I would have to go look up and see what's on them. I know that Fairway had run an internal campaign, which had kind of some positive messages on it, like, you know, you're the best and, you know, you can do it and those kind of things that are on it. But uh-huh. I believe that's all expired. And for the most part, those things should be down. That was like spring a year ago.
Oh, so I'm trying to I'm on a hunt to figure out who's behind this billboard that says "Stay Fabulous."
Are you? Yeah, and that was one of them from an old campaign. Where are you sure they're Fairway assets? First of all, so did you see this physically? See the signs and see the imprint on it?
I did physically see the sign. I felt about 10% more fabulous after I saw it.
If it's a Fairway piece, I could probably look up and pull the creative that was part of a big plan. But I mean, I don't know how I can help otherwise.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
All right, thanks. Uh-huh. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye.
This is it.
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, not too much. How's it going?
Listener, this is Tim Singleton. He lives in Canada. He's a graphic designer. And this one time, he made a billboard.
It's a surprise for a Monday.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm so excited to talk to you, though, because I feel like I'm at the end of a true quest.
I feel so honored.
Okay, so what made you create that? Why'd you decide to do that thing, that Stay Fabulous thing?
I'm a graphic designer by trade, but obviously a day job can sometimes get a bit bland and a bit boring. So I like to do side projects on the side, just like keep myself motivated and learning and doing new things and trying new things out and keeping creative. And I follow this community on Instagram called Good Type, and it's for typography nerds like myself. And they put out a brief, and this one I did last year, it was probably a little over a year ago now. And it was, they were like, if you had a billboard and you had any space to put a mural, what would you do? Like, you know, letter it, put it up, you know, what have you. So I did. So I submitted it. And a lot of other really talented designers did, too. The great thing about Instagram, I find, for the creative community is it's so easy to connect with designers from all over the world. And you get a lot of really great influences all at once.
Mm-hmm,
it's just
mm-hmm.
a blast. And so I did this thing. I was trying to, like, work through some creative block one afternoon. And I was like, oh, this would be a fun one to do. So I did it. Posted on Instagram, didn't really give it any more thought. And then a few weeks later, the woman who runs Good Type, Brooke, sent me a direct message on Instagram and said, hey, Adam and Fairway have gotten in touch with us. And I didn't know who Adam and Fairway was because I'm in Canada and we don't have them up here. And then all of a sudden in the summer, I started getting DMs from people all over the state saying they'd seen it.
That must be really exciting.
It's really cool.
So I work at a radio station called WMMT. We call ourselves Real People Radio, and our slogan is, or our, like, our like, Patronus is the possum. So, right now on the fly, if you were going to design a billboard that said, Possum Crossing, how would you design it?
Oh, the possum, the one that looks, it's kind of, like, that's, like, from The Simpsons, right? Like, the possum, like, I call the big one Bitey. You know what I'm talking about?
It's the animal that looks like, it just looks like it has this, like, deep sense of spiritual angst, you know?
Ah, I understand that. Yeah. If I were to do that, well, all my work usually has a lot of color, so it would probably be in one of those really nice neon-y citric colors. It's
Ooh.
Kind of like how the Stay Fabulous one is, like, all purples and pinks and blues.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably design it with that, and then have a really big X in the background to represent the crossing. And I'd probably do the possum in, like, an Andy Warhol style. Like, it would be, like, kind of day glow with, like, that nice kind of screen print texture on it.
I love it.
Wouldn't that be so fun?
Uh-huh.
And then, like, it's really hard to miss it. So, like, you know, the possums would be just fine.
Because honestly, I got to tell you, like, the Stay Fabulous billboards are, like, a real topic of conversation.
Well, it's also fun because, like, it's a billboard, but it's not selling you anything.
Yeah. It's just
right?
encouraging
so, like,
you to continue being fabulous.
Yeah.
If someone wants to stay fabulous, what should they do to make that happen?
Honestly, I think they got to keep on doing whatever makes them happy. I think that's the real trick to it. I think don't let anyone bring you down, don't let anyone hold you back, and just, like, keep on keeping on.
Where can people find you if they want to learn more about your work?
So my Instagram handle is Tim P. Singleton, at Tim P. Singleton, and then my website where you can see more of my work is at timsingleton.rocks.
All right. Thanks for taking the time. I hope you have a really good Monday.
Yeah, of course. Same. Back to you.
I found Tim Singleton. I got him to design a billboard for WMMT. And I learned that the secret to staying fabulous is continuing to do whatever you're already doing. So I guess you could say, we're all already fabulous, just the way we are. For WMMT, I'm Sydney Bowles.
Immigration is a hot topic in national news these days, and in this episode of Mountain News, we bring you a short audio piece produced by the Appalachian Media Institute in 2007, demonstrating a long legacy of national debate about immigration and immigrants.
This radio story is brought to you by Appalachian Media Institute.
A lot of people, when they think about immigrants, they think about them coming in. They don't think about what it's like for them to leave their homes in the first place. I do, because one day I might have to leave my home in the mountains. I live in Jeremiah, Kentucky, a rural county. For generations, people in my family have moved from state to state for jobs and put their lives at risk in the coal mines. Here, leaving the mountains is a rite of passage, just like crossing the border might be for others. I hear kids every day making plans about their future, and Eastern Kentucky isn't a part of that. I never thought I had anything in common with teenagers from other countries, like Mexico, but I do. Seeing the immigration debates and demonstrations on TV, I understand that big companies look at our families as dollar signs, as people who can pack coal out or bring the tomato harvest in. Many people think economic migrants in our country had a choice. I can tell you there's no real choice in the decision to leave home. I look around my community and see how many people are out of a job, trying to get by working at Walmart, or getting hurt in the mines. So far, I can count 23 people in my family who have left the community for financial reasons. I don't want to become number 24, someone my family only sees on the holidays. Making a choice to leave means going where people don't wave as you drive by, where no one knows me or my family, where people look down on my way of talking, a place where my customs and traditions are seen as backwards. Knowing where I'm from is one of the most important things to me. I don't want to give that up for a paycheck. And I'm afraid if I go, I'll never be able to come back.
Last in this episode of Mountain News, Mimi Pickering brings us the following piece about this summer's free Levitt Amp concert series in downtown Whitesburg starting May 30th.
Excitement is building in Letcher County for the second Levitt Amp Whitesburg Music Series, which is set to take place on the Mountain Heritage Festival stage, beginning with rising country star and Pound, Virginia native Caitlin Baker on Thursday, May 30th. Here is Steve Ruth, the series coordinator.
The Levitt Amp Whitesburg Music Series is a 10-concert music series that happens this summer from May 30th through August 8th on every Thursday evening throughout the summertime. The goal is to bring a diverse variety of musical styles and genres and performers into Whitesburg, especially trying to attract acts that wouldn't normally appear in this area or musical styles that we wouldn't normally get to hear live in our area. It's all about bringing the community together in a safe, friendly, family-friendly environment where all members of the community can gather and enjoy some live music.
The Mortimer and Mimi Levitt Foundation believes in the power of live music to bring people together. They are supporting a free concert series in 18 small to mid-sized cities around the country this summer. Valerie Horn, director of the Cowan Community Center, explains why the center applied for this opportunity and the rather unusual selection process.
Cowan Community Center has had a history of encouraging and providing a platform for music, such as the Cowan Creek Mountain Music School. And this seemed like a natural fit to expand on that. And, you know, things really happen in a pretty simple way here. This was as simple as Abby Maggard saying, you know, they're doing this in Middlesboro. And it's so nice. She had attended some of those concerts. So we at Cowan applied for that also. And we knew we had to have our partners. So City of Whitesburg, of course, is our primary partner. Along with Mountain Heritage Festival and Apple Shop and our Farmers Market. And the Farmers Market was perhaps a bit of the driving force. We have, of course, our Saturday morning market, but farmers needed an additional outlet through the week. And we're looking at ways to grow that market, to bring community together, and particularly for it to be accessible to all. Levitt is determined that this series of concerts are supported by the community and that the community is engaged and involved. And one way they determine that is through online voting. So we've been one of 30 to 40 cities each year who've made it through the first round of, did you write things? Are your ideals what we'd like to hear? We make it through that, and the next step is your community a part of this? Are they going to support this? So there's online voting with that, and very pleased to say that the first year, we were really nervous about that process because we're competing against communities like Santa Fe, New Mexico, and we're thinking, how are our 1,499 people plus one grouch
right.
gonna measure up? And you know, we were number one. This year we were number one at 7:15, but at 8 p.m. when the voting closed, we were number two.
Oh,
ironically, by a smaller town. Also, concerts matter to small communities, and we're very glad to be able to work to provide the music and the place for this to happen.
Members of the Whitesburg team believe that the concerts provide more than an enjoyable musical experience, that in fact they fuel the continued revitalization of Whitesburg's downtown. Some experts are calling this kind of community development creative placemaking.
Folks need to feel good about the place that they are. If the folks who live in a community do not feel good about the community, that the community is probably going to waste away. I think the Levitt Foundation and other folks see that there are many ways to creatively uphold a community. And through music is a very simple way. Music is something that almost all of us agree on. We may like different types of music, but almost everybody enjoys music in some form or the other. No matter what your politics or your background or your religion or your race or whatever it is, that the music can bring us all together. And I think that's the foundation of it. I see Whitesburg myself as a community that is, in many ways, built on the arts, but especially music. I think Whitesburg and the folks who live in this region, not just Whitesburgians or Letcher Countyans, are very sophisticated about their musical tastes and about what they recognize as fine music. So this is just an easy way to get folks of different backgrounds into one space, give them a point of agreement and a starting point to go on to harder, more difficult decisions.
Marley Green has studied urban and environmental planning and works on community development projects at Appleshop.
Sort of over the last 20, 30 years, as a lot of places have dealt with the collapse of different industries, and everybody's trying to understand how do we create new economic opportunity? And there's, you know, a sort of older school of thought that says we need to bring in a new factory or need to bring in a new large employer. And that can take years, and sometimes cities or counties or regions spend, you know, millions of dollars attracting some large industry. They come in, we run sewer to their sites, gas lines to their sites, and they're open for a few years and then they close. And there's a lot of, you can put a lot of energy into that kind of stuff, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you can't get a large employer to come in. And so, sort of as a counter to that, there's a growing recognition that we can also be building economies from the ground up. And one way that happens is that you have a place that people want to be, that people want to start a business, that people want to move their business to, that people want to stick around where they grew up and start a business. And we know that some of the things that keep people around or draw people to a place are things like arts, culture, music, recreation. So I see, and I think Appleshop sees Levitt Amp as one piece of that, of growing sort of Whitesburg and Letcher County's attraction to, you know, young folks, old folks, whoever, that want to be here, that want to, you know, be in part of the mountains and be part of this musical and ecological culture that we have here, and to grow businesses. And so it's one piece. It's not that a concert series is going to turn us around economically, but that plus the radio station plus good food downtown are all components that we hope will encourage people to locate their businesses here. It's also about making a place that we all be a part of and that we're excited and hopeful about the future.
You have been listening to Steve Ruth, Valerie Horn, and Marley Green talk about the upcoming Levitt Amp Whitesburg Music Series. The first show features singer-songwriter Caitlin Baker on Thursday, May 30th. The series runs through August 8th, with a break for the 4th of July weekend. The Farmers Market opens at 5 p.m. with free meals for kids under 18. Opening acts, who are most often from the region, start at 6 p.m. with the headliners going on stage at 7. For a list of partners, sponsors, and musical acts, visit the website at levittamp.org/Whitesburg. That's levittamp.org/Whitesburg. You can also find a Levitt Amp Whitesburg playlist on Spotify. For WMMT, this is Mimi Pickering reporting.
That's it for this episode of Mountain News. Music on this episode features Carla Gover with a tune called Sweet Fern off of her June Apple recording, Hush My Restless Soul. If you'd like to hear this or previous episodes again, you can find them on our website at WMMT.org or download Mountain News as a podcast on SoundCloud or Stitcher. I've been your host, Rachel Gehringer, and from all of us at WMMT, thanks for listening to Real People Radio.
He placed a gold ring on the day he was leaving his home. I promised I'd be his own little girl and love him wherever he roams. I know he's away in a far distant land, in a land that is over the sea. Go fly to him singing your sweet little song. Still true.
This has been Mountain News and World Report, a production of WMMT-FM, Mountain Community Public Radio, the non-commercial broadcast service of the world-famous Apple Shop in Whitesburg, Kentucky.